Thank you, team. I'm going to get our preacher on today. I've been preaching on what it takes to fan into flame the gift of God this year. That was a text God put on my heart, 2 Timothy 1:6. I know that you're walking with God. Apostle Paul said to Timothy, I know you've been raised right. In his case, it was his grandmother and his mother. He said, for that reason, I exhort you, keep fanning into flame the gift of God that's within you, Apostle Paul said. I know you've got God in your life, but I want to say, don't let it burn down. Don't let it just glow. Let it be a fire, because our God is a consuming fire. Jesus came to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with
fire.
And so we want to always know how to do that. We're doing it through prayer. I started out saying, pray more. Say it with me. Pray more. And then I said, pray out loud. That'll put the devil in his place. He can't read your mind, but you tell him what you believe. Speak to your infirmity about the God and the word that you believe. Then I said, pray with the Spirit. We have the ability to yield to the Holy Spirit, and he prays through us. That's a wow. Let's say wow. That's even bigger than amen. Means I believe it. And then we start talking about the importance of the Word of God. The Word of God is so important in our life that we need to read it. We need to do it. We need to understand its power. And Pastor Lewis was away for a couple Sundays. And after I chastised him for that, just in fun, he came back with a Bible that he literally rescued out of the fire. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to give that testimony. That's your testimony. So he brought it down from Alabama. Let's welcome back one of our pastors here, Pastor Lewis and Millie. Come on down and give us that word today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.
Gracias, Pastor.
¿Qué es eso?
What is that?
¿Qué tú haces?
What are you doing?
Okay.
Okay.
Yo sé que ustedes no están acostumbrados a esto.
I know that you're not used to this.
La semana que viene.
Next week.
La semana que viene.
Next week.
Viernes.
Friday.
Sábado.
Saturday.
Y domingo.
And Sunday.
El sábado por la noche y por la mañana.
Friday night and Saturday morning.
Y sábado por la noche.
And Saturday night.
El sábado por la noche tú no estás acostumbrado a estar en la iglesia.
Saturday night you're not used to coming to church.
¿Por qué? Porque se rentaba la iglesia antes.
Because we used to have our church rented.
Pero este próximo sábado,
but this coming Saturday,
hay un servicio.
There will be a service.
Bilingüe.
Bilingual.
El viernes también.
Friday too.
El domingo por la mañana también.
Sunday morning too.
Todo el fin de semana.
The whole weekend.
You're going to see us going back and forth.
Nos van a ver yendo de un lado para otro.
So trust me.
Así que confíen
come,
en mí. Venga.
Because the woman that's going to preach on Friday and Saturday morning.
Porque la mujer que va a estar predicando el viernes por la noche y sábado por la
we
mañana.
We wouldn't be right here right now if it wasn't for her.
No estaríamos aquí si no fuera por ella.
Ella fue la que me metió una pata.
She's the one that kicked me.
Come on, baby, you're supposed to. Yeah, crack the whip.
Yes,
she cracked the whip
it.
On me.
Ella le dio pao pao.
Yeah, no. And she don't beat around the bush.
Y ella no juega.
She don't play, let me tell you. And then,
entonces,
el que va a predicar por la noche el sábado,
the one that will be preaching Saturday night,
tiene un testimonio tan ridículo.
Had such an amazing testimony.
Para los jóvenes.
For the youth,
will blow their minds away.
Que va a explotar su mente.
Cómo el Señor los rescató a él.
How God rescued him.
Y el domingo en la mañana.
And Sunday morning.
Cerramos con brochas de oro.
We will close with the gold.
Brushes, baby, come on,
brushes,
girl.
Brushes, okay.
You know, I feel.
Home run.
Yeah, and a home run too.
There you go.
Because
yeah,
Pastor Phil.
One thing and doing another.
Because Pastor Felipe Thurstein.
Because Pastor Phil.
And we're just messing around right now.
Estamos jugando con ustedes
when you're
ahora
in the spirit,
mismo. Cuando estás en el espíritu,
we go back and forth.
Vamos de uno al otro.
Porque dame decirte algo.
Because let me tell you something.
Cuando el Señor se mete en este asunto,
when the Lord is in the,
el fuego no se puede apagar.
The fire cannot be
el Señor
turned
te va a pegar.
The Lord will begin.
Así, a darte aire.
To give you air.
Te va a meter el aire.
He's going to begin
al
to
aire,
give you
ese
air.
Ese aire, cuando te pega, eso, ese aire va a encender un bosque.
It's going to light up a fire.
como nunca antes.
Like never before.
Las canciones va a ser todo bilingüe.
The songs will be all bilingual.
100% bilingüe.
100% bilingual.
Ustedes van a entender todo.
You will be able,
no hay excusa de que
everything.
Si yo hablo
There's
español,
no excuse
no.
If I don't speak Spanish, you can be here.
Porque aquí va a ser de todo.
Porque va a ser, it's going to be everything.
Amén.
Okay, I love you, bye.
And I'm playing around with her, so I was actually trying to confuse her on purpose, but she did really good. Okay, since I only got 12 minutes here, because we got IOM students coming. This Bible, okay, Pastor Phil's talking about fanning the flame, right? So what happens? When I was in Alabama, I found this Bible, but I really didn't find it. The person that found it was one of the kids. His name is Elijah, okay? So Elijah is one of the kids from the ramp, and I bought, remember when Prophet Ben was talking about that Sunday that he was preaching, and then he said, you got the house, and then I see the land next to you, and this, that, the other. Well, it's true, because what I did is I bought my house in Alabama, and then I bought out basically half of the neighbors around the neighborhood, all their empty lots, because land over there in Alabama, it's not that, you don't have to be rich, it's just very inexpensive. So I bought a lot that had a burnt down mobile home. Anybody that, right, mobile homes go up on fire. Like, I'm talking to the fireman right there, the chief fireman, or whatever they want to call him, right? The chief, there you go, our fire chief. And what happens? It goes on flames, like, in 2 seconds. So this Bible was sitting out there, okay? And it was just tossed in the ground because the house had burnt down, and we started demoing what was left over of it, you know, the metal and all that. And Elijah, he found it on the ground. So then I was remembering what Bill Cook was telling Pastor Phil about getting the double portion, you know, because that's Elijah. And I started thinking, I go, wow, Elijah found the word, you know, and it was deposited into Elisha. And I go, and look at this word. And the crazy thing about it, if you notice it, all the covers burnt up. Look at the outside, burnt up. But when Elijah found it, you know what he goes, what do I do with it? I go, I'll just toss it. I'm going to be real with you. No religious folks out there. Okay. I'll just toss it. Don't worry. And he looked at me and his eyes just popped open. He goes, no, I could never do that, Pastor. No. And I'm like, just toss it. Are you going to use it? Who knew that I was going to be talking about it today? And all of a sudden, he grabbed it. He goes, no. And he grabbed it. And then Fernando, you know, my son, I almost looked at it as Elijah and Elisha. You know, Fernando turned around, and he took it home. And he's like, for hours, he was sitting there going page by page because it was raining. We're talking about a year and a half in the weather, okay? And a year and a half in the weather. And in the fire, okay? And the crazy thing about it is, well, in the fire and in the rain, okay, Fernando started cleaning it up and stuff, you know. And if you look at it, not one smudge on the word, not one page getting stuck, not one page missing, okay? But all the outside of it is all burnt up and everything. The entire Bible is here. The entire Word of God is here. Amen? And here I was going to talk about Abraham, you know, and then all of a sudden, because Jesse was talking about Abraham, because I love Abraham and Isaac. And then I go, yeah, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know what I mean? It's like they got thrown in the fire, you know, and they survived. And I'm like, it only makes sense, but. And then Pastor Phil turns around and goes, you should talk about Joseph. I go, Pastor, you're driving me crazy because if it's not you, it's Millie. But the whole thing is here, the word, okay? The joke is the word here. This word is uncorruptible, okay? And then I got a little sticky note here that the fire that's in here was stronger than fire that was out here, you know? And if you think about it, the fire that's in the word of God, you could never compare it to the fire outside. And it's just so amazing because this is the word of our King. You know what? And I know that we're used to, and it hurts, you know, because sometimes it jabs us a little bit. And there's certain sections of the Bible that we just don't want to really pay attention to because those are the ones that that push us, you know what I mean, that bring that conviction. Don't tell me I'm the only one that gets convicted by the Word of God. Oh, come on. Am I the only one that gets conviction from the Word of God? No, right? Okay. So I'm talking to some real people here. So when you look at it, my God, I was looking at it and it's like there's no smudges, no nothing. It's uncorruptible. God's word cannot be changed, cannot be altered, cannot be annulled. Okay? It is what it is. And when he speaks it, that's all there is to it. So then, when Daniel 1, 2, 3. Can you say Daniel 1, 2, 3? Read it, because I'm going to paraphrase it. Because I got exactly 10 minutes to give you this whole message. Because we're going to have some crazy IOM students here that are on fire for the Lord. Okay? So what happens? Daniel 1, 2, 3. Read it 1, 2, 3 times again. Okay? Because why? Because this word is going to resonate in you. Okay? First chapter of Daniel. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that wasn't their names. Daniel kept his name for the most part. But all four of them, they were taken from Jerusalem, right, and thrown into Babylonia. Right? So what happens? The king of Judah was turned over to King Nebuchadnezzar. And don't ask me how to pronounce it. It doesn't have an R. I know it's C-H at the end. There you go. Come on, Bethany, help me. Nebuchadnezzar, okay? So, but for Spanish folks, it's really hard to say Nebuchadnezzar. There we go, okay? So what happens, okay? Forget about it, okay? Just listen to my translation here. This is a Louis Brignone interpretation here, okay? So what happens? They turn around and they get taken down, right? So when they get taken down, the king is so smart. He turns around and he goes, you know, find me some of the royal family, you know what I mean? Good looking. I was just thinking whenever he was saying good looking guys, okay? We're talking about young men that are good looking, that are very well versed, smart, you know what I mean? Handsome, strong. And I was just thinking, dang, he was just describing me, you know? So then I was looking because the whole youth group was up there, this right, worshiping, okay? It's other than Pastor John, it was all youth. Okay, so then I got to pick on him. So then the young adults were there. Okay, they were all there, and I looked at him and I go, he was looking for people just like that, to worship him, to serve him, and he was going to teach him what culture. He was going to teach him their literature, right? Because what happens when back in the days when a king would come in and besiege a place, when he would take over, they would teach him culture. They would teach him everything, you know, that has to do with the customs and everything. That's what we got to do with the Word of God, okay? Because what's going on is that we're here to spread the good news, the good news of his kingdom, okay? And that's why we're ambassadors. Remember, Christ, it says that we're Christ ambassadors, right? What is to be able to teach the kingdom, okay? The knowledge of the kingdom is to teach a kingdom constitution, which is the Word of God, right? The ethics, because we're not going to, I'm going to put it to you this way. If we act how we act in the world, okay, and we're supposed to be teaching them that we're Christians, so then what's the difference between us and the world? We have to teach them the ethics that the ethics and stuff that the Word of God says, and because it's no longer us. Remember, if Christ lives in us, we have to teach the Word of God, what's in His Word, you know, and that Word has to be, and it has to resonate inside of us. It's you can't let it compromise. You can't. It's uncompromisable. Okay, so what happens? These guys, they come in, and then all of a sudden, they turned around and Daniel says to the guard, he goes, hey, I don't want to eat the choice food from the king, you know? And he goes, can you let me just have some vegetables? And he goes, yeah, but you know what? I'm kind of scared to do that because the issue is here that, you're going to look all wimpy and stuff. Cause if you're just going to eat vegetables and stuff. So then he turns around and he goes, no, let me try this for 10 days. So at the end of 10 days, he saw that they looked healthier, that they looked 10 times better, okay, and more knowledgeable, okay, than anybody else. Because everybody else was getting corrupted by a different word, okay? They're listening to a different word. What does God say about us, okay? And this is what we got to understand. It's like, what is the enemy telling you, but what does God tell you? What is the world telling you, okay, that we're listening to, okay? But the Word of God, it cannot be changed. The problem is that we only, when things start to happen, you know, when we're in that fire, all of a sudden we start. We all go through it. We all get weak. That's why you have to stay on the vine. You know, Pastor Gerald used to say that. Stay connected to the vine. Okay? Out of the vine, you're nothing. So what happens? These guys, they stayed on the word. Okay? Chapter 2. Chapter 2, the king has a dream. Here's the crazy thing about it. He calls up all his assessors, you know, all his astronomers, the governors, this, that, the psychics, you name it. He called them. Okay? They got different pretty names in the Bible. Remember, this is my version. But he called up all the guys that magicians and all that junk. Okay? And they go, hey, I need you to tell me what my dream is. And they turn around and they go ahead. Tell me the dream and I'll interpret it for you. And he goes, no. Go ahead and interpret it. Tell me what my dream was and interpret it for me. And he goes, yeah, go ahead. And he goes, hang on. You're not getting me. I think you're trying to stall me. Okay? I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're trying me, okay, and you cannot tell me what my dream is that I had, okay, I'm going to cut you up into little pieces and your house will turn into rubbles. Can you imagine that? Hang on. But here's the crazy thing about it that me and Pastor were talking about. The guy's crazy. A prophet, Jesse, tell me, what did I dream about last night? Go ahead, tell me. What did I dream about? No, you don't know, you see? How can the man be crazy and say that? What did I dream about? I don't know. Let me tell you this. So what happens? It came word, because the king did a decree. The word of the king cannot be changed. This was the decree, and this is the crazy thing about it, that the word of the king, the decree of the king, cannot be changed because it's an official word, okay, to kill them all, to kill all the magicians and all that. What's crazy is that you saw that when in Esther, when the king ordered did the decree, the only thing that he goes, I already gave my word. I can't change it. But the only difference was that they were able to defend themselves, and that's what happened here. They gave the decree. But Daniel's full of God's fire, full of that word, because the Lord had already given him at the beginning the ability to translate, you know, to interpret dreams and everything. He went to the king and asked for he stalled him. He asked for, please give me the time to interpret your dream, you know, and to pray about this. And the king allowed him to. That wasn't supposed to. That's how God's word works, that he did a miracle right there. First miracle. It's crazy how God allowed Daniel, okay, he messed up the king. He took away his power right there. Why? Because God is the King of Kings. So what happens? He goes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And he goes, guys, we're going to have to plead to God. So they pleaded to the Lord, and the Lord gave Daniel the revelation of what the dream was and everything. So what happens? During this revelation, He goes to the king and tells him tells him the dream and everything. But he walks up to the king and the king goes, so did you get the interpretation for my dream? And he goes, no. And I was like, what? Do you have the interpretation? No, I didn't get it. The Lord gave it to me because it had nothing to do with him. And he goes, this is the most beautiful thing. When I read it, you know how you read stuff and you just read it. And then, like, that's why I told you to read it 3 times. Because I didn't pick this up until Daniel said, I am no better than any of these other guys. He goes, I don't have your revelation. But God gave me this revelation so that I could speak it to you. So that you could know what's fixing to happen. You know, and what's about to happen. So he goes, let's get something straight. When it's like when we go to pray for somebody that's sick, let's get something straight. I have nothing to do with this. I'm just going to lay hands and trust the. Right. I'm going to trust that word. Right. And I'm going to lay hands on you and anoint you because it says in the word of God that where two or three come together under one accord, that whatever we ask shall come to pass, right? So I'm just going to trust the word. It has nothing to do with me because that word comes straight from the king. Amen? And remember, Jesus was given the name above all names. The name of what? Jesus, right? Because he is King of Kings, right? Capital K, Lord of Lords, right? Lord of little lords, big Lord to little Lord. Okay, so he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was given the name above all names. And that's who's dwelling inside of here. Let's jump to chapter 3 now. Chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar. Did I say that right? Yes. She got me straight. Nebuchadnezzar, okay, turned around. And what's he do? He builds a statue. It's 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. If you want to go by the cubits and stuff like that, if you understand that language, go ahead. In Americans, we go by feet. And if you're from a Spanish country or whatever, and you go meters, I have no idea. So, because the meters is a little different. So it's 90 by 9, right? And what happens? Every time that all the instruments, the flutes, the harps, this, that, the other, they had made it to where whenever you heard them, that they had to drop down and what? And worship that statue of Nebuchadnezzar, right? So what happens? All of a sudden, after they made that decree and everything, because the decree was that if you didn't worship, that they were going to throw you into the fire furnace. So then you have this jealous folks that they turn around, and this guy turns around. And he goes, hey, these guys, you're Jews. These Jews turn around, and whenever they pay no attention to you, your Lord, your Highness, your this, your that, your greatness, trying to stir him up. And he goes, and they won't bow down. Well, duh, Nebuchadnezzar already knew that, because the thing was that, remember, from the beginning, they prayed to their God, not to his gods. So he already knew that they didn't worship his God, that they worshiped their God, okay, which is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? So, but the problem is that when the king gives the decree, he had to summon them. So he summons them and he goes, look, when all these instruments kick in, you're gonna turn around and worship me. And then they turned around and they looked at him. And let me read that part. I got to read that part, because let me see if I can find it, because I already skipped through 6 pages. Since Pastor Phil, turned off my computer. It was going to call you. Siri thought that I was talking to her. So then what happens? It says, this reminded me of whenever, when Pilate goes to Jesus and he goes, hey, don't you know I got the power to do this and that? And Jesus looked at him and go, boy, get something straight. You ain't got no power that was not given by my Father in heaven to you. Okay? So let's get it straight. You ain't got no power. So then what happens? Here we go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is Daniel 3, verse 16. This is 600 years before Christ. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able, period, okay, to deliver us from it, okay? And he will deliver us, okay, from your majesty's hand. Such great faith these guys had, okay? And then it says, but even if it doesn't, okay, we want you to know this, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of your golden, of that image of gold that you have set up. Man, remember that? They're not going to serve him. So now they're going to throw them into a little furnace. And it's no big deal. Because the furnace, it's just a little hole, just imagine, okay? And since I got the fire guy there, he can't make me lie. But the fire is, remember, he was so furious that he turned around and he said, do it 7 times hotter than ever. Okay, so fire is normally 1,200 degrees. This is Google. This is not Fire Chief, okay? Okay? Now, Fire Chief, they told me that 7 times hotter would make it 8,400 degrees. And at anywhere from 5,000 to 6,000 degrees, that's where diamonds melt, okay? So they started telling me outside when I went out there that the orange that you see normally in the screen is 1,200 degrees. And then the when it gets like 7 times hotter is when it comes white. Is that true? You see? Fire Chief is nodding his head saying yes. So we're talking about that this thing is so hot that they turned around and they brought the biggest, baddest, okay, guards that they had. They said, come on, get them in there. They bound them up, tied them up, right? And when they were throwing them in, the guards died from the flames. So then all of a sudden, I could just picture that they had a deck, you know, and the king was up here. And all of a sudden, the king looks down. And he goes, what the heck is that? There's four guys down there. You know, but there's three of them, right? And three stands for life. And then I said, he goes, didn't we throw three guys down there? I see four of them. And one of them looks the son of the gods. And he goes, what is that? And all, they're just walking untied, loose. And it makes me think of the word of God that says what? That he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? We have to think about this. When we receive Christ in our hearts, we have to be free. We cannot be the same person. That word of God, this word has to burn in us so strong, okay, that no matter what happens. Because let me ask you this. Right now, and don't pretend, because I'm going to be real. I was going to grab a little candle and put it up there and dare you to touch the flame. Because, you know, our parents always told us, don't touch the fire. Don't put your hand on the stove. You're going to get burned, right? Don't touch the iron, right? Because it's going to get burned. We had a pit right now. And I'm going to tell you that I'm going to toss your butt in there. I'm going to toss you in there. Unless you, right now, you worship me. What would you do? That hit me because I started thinking about God. Lord, you always say put your money where your mouth is. You know, put the word where your mouth is. You know, where your heart. And I read his word and I believe it and I trust it. I've seen miracles, signs, and wonders happen. But at the end of it all, if I was put with that task, would I be able, is my faith so strong, would I withstand the heat? Would you withstand the heat of your loved one dying? Would you withstand the heat of getting cancer, some disease, or something? Knowing that the word says that you're healed in Jesus' name. I know some of you have gone through it and surpassed it. But some of us, you know, we've gone through stuff, but have you gone through something major and really withstand the heat? This word, we have to trust it. We have to live it. We have to eat it. It has to live inside of us. Because as long as we trust this word, it doesn't make a difference. Remember what Paul said, that to live is Christ and to die is gain. It wouldn't make a difference to us if we fell in the fire. When I was in Alabama, the kids, they caught a deer, and it's so cold out there, I bought a heater. Seriously, to skin the stinking deer outside, you have to put a heater up, okay? And I grabbed it with a pair of gloves through the top, and it burned like crazy. That's what made me think about this. Just, it melted through the glove. Then I just took the glove off. I think the gloves are still in the back of the truck. It went straight through the gloves. And when I started reading this, I go, me knowing that I got burnt just a little bit, what would I have done? Pastor Phil.
Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord. So, you know, none of us may ever need to go through a literal fiery furnace, but your circumstance can be that. But just know and believe that the Word of God is working powerfully in you. And, you know, the end of that story, it just gave the Hebrew boys a testimony. You know, it caused the king to say, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, is the only God to worship. Here's the same man that built the 90-foot statue of himself. But just seeing the power of God work on behalf of somebody else convinced him. And that's what God wants to do for each one of us. This is the only way we're going to reach the world for Christ. It's not that, you know, Christ is going to come. He's come through us. He's coming through you and through the testimony of your life.